Hello, this is UU Todd Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and you're in fact listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. The seeds begin abstract as their species, remote as the name on the sack they are carried home in. Fayette Seed Company, corner of Vine and Rose. But the sower going forth to sow sets foot into time to come, the seeds falling on his own place. He has prepared a way for his life to come to him, if it will. Like a tree, he has given roots to the earth and stands free. Well, here we are again at radio station KVMR, Nevada City, California. KVMR, where we continue to tread the thin line between misfortune and calamity. The difference? Well, if the president was to be walking by the reflecting pool in Washington, D.C. and accidentally trip and fall in, that would be a misfortune. If anybody was to pull him out now, that would be a calamity. Yes, and we're here a beautiful, beautiful early fall afternoon, Nevada City, California, where, thank God, the environmentalists are still protected by the game laws. Yes, we're charging at breakneck speed toward the end of August. Of course, the Lammas rains have come and gone, the cross-quarter day, the beginning of harvest, the beginning of August. The harvest is well underway. Here's something from Hone's daybook. The Brownell sisters gave me these many years ago. Hone wrote his daybooks in 1827, 1828. The ears are filled, the fields are white, the constant harvest moon is bright to grasp the bounty of the year. The reapers to the scene repair with hook in hand and bottles slung, and dowless scrips beside them hung. The sickles stubble all the ground, and fitful, hasty laughs go round. The meals are done as soon as tasted, and neither time or viand wasted. All over then the barrels foam, the largesse cry, the harvest home. Mr. Hone continues, the mirror of the months likens August to that brief but perhaps best period of human life, when the promises of youth are either fulfilled or forgotten, and the fears and forethoughts connected with decline have not yet grown strong enough to make themselves felt, and consequently, when we have nothing to do but to look around and be happy. Ah, well, harvest time is time when the go-abouts, when people bring, it used to be the festival time, the first fruits of the harvest. Of course, the harvest ends on November 1st, Samhain, which later on became Halloween on the Christian calendar. But the beginning of harvest, the fruits of the harvest are brought to the crossroads, are brought to the festivals, the fairs. That's where your county fairs come from, you know. That's how far back the county fairs go, back to arch antiquity. Coming into town, well, let me sing you a song here that I learned from old Dave Mort up there in Camas, Utah. It's a bar called Camp Killcare. He was working for the Geological Survey and booming through that part of the country. I guess he was from North Carolina, but he knew many a good song. I'm not going to play the guitar on this. My hands have been acting up, and so I've set the guitar aside and just decided I was going to open my mouth and let sounds ensue. I am a jolly farmer. Last night I come to town. To bing a bale of cotton, I'd work the whole year round. I left my team in the wagon yard and got a bottle of gin. Went out to see them electric lights and watch the cars ride in. I met a dude out on the street, the clock was striking nine. He said, come on, old hayseed, and have a drink, it's fine. I must have bought a dozen or more, it hit my pocketbook hard. I wished I'd have bought a half a pint and stayed in the wagon yard. I'm a deacon in a hard-shell church way down in Possum Trot. When the sisters hear about my spree, it's bound to make 'em hot. I went out on a party and led the pace that kills. When I woke up, the gang was gone. They left me with the bills. I found 'em on the corner by Soul Salvation Hall. That drunken bunch was out there singing, Jesus paid it all. They threw me out in a dry goods box, and my pillow was hard. I wished I'd have bought a half a pint and stayed in the wagon yard. So listen, all you farmers, I'm here to talk with sense. You want to see them electric lights? Just look right over the fence. Don't monkey with them city dudes. You'll find they're slick as lard. Just get yourself a half a pint and stay in the wagon yard. Wagon yard. Well, that's kind of fun, singing without a guitar. Can think more about the words. Oh, Bill Gigler passed away, 96 years old or so. It's been a while back. He lived up the road from us there on Bergren Lane. That used to be the old Bergren farmstead. Bill Gigler, I can say 96, a long white beard. He raised chickens up there. Of course, he got out of that when the price of power went up and the price of feed and everything. All of his expenses went up. But he knew that somebody was making money off of those eggs, and it wasn't him. So he did his own independent market study. He took a batch of eggs he was about to send out, and with an indelible pencil, he wrote on one side of one of those eggs, "To whom it may concern, I just sold this egg for a nickel. I'd appreciate it if you'd write me a letter and tell me how much you paid for it." Well, it was 6 weeks later. He got a letter from the United States Department of Agriculture on their own stationery. I saw it was a beautiful letterhead. It said, "Dear Mr. Gigler, I've been asked to inform you that the Secretary of Agriculture, while delivering a speech to the farmers of Kansas, received your egg for nothing." Now, Bob Ferguson. Well, Bob Miller. Bob Miller wrote many, many good songs, from 1930 till about 1955. He recorded under the name of Bob Ferguson on a variety of different labels. Let's listen to a farm song, "The Farmer's Letter," from Bob Ferguson, and you tell me if this song has any contemporary interest.
"1929, October 23, to the President of the USA, Washington, D.C. Kind sir, I take my pen in hand to drop you just a line. I've got some things to talk about that's long been on my mind. I know you'll understand, sir, of course I mean no harm. I only want to ask you, sir, some things about my farm. I farm nigh on to 20 years, but now I must admit I cannot go on the way things are, and yet I hate to quit. I farm nigh on to 20 years, there's something wrong, I guess. Too poor to live, too poor to die, we're sure in a terrible mess. I figured it out from every side, the figures herein I give. Please work it out and let me know, how can a poor farmer live? Now figure it out in Washington, show us in white and black why the money we put on our farms we never do get back. I've mortgaged my mules to buy the seed, and in order to stay on top, I mortgaged my barn and mortgaged my farm to pay for gathering the crop. Now the crop is in and it's all right, the corn was a little rotten. The cotton is fine, there's plenty of it, but sir, we cannot eat cotton. Our cattle don't look so very well, our hogs are powerful thin. The summer was hard, the winter looks bad, it's an awful mess we're in. I tried to fatten up my stock, I fail, I cannot deny. But the price they charge for feedstuff, sir, it's cheaper to let them die. Now here's a little problem, been figuring on it too. If you can solve the answer, I'll be much obliged to you. Now maul is just a little thing, weighs 90 pounds, I guess. Why does it take a bale of cotton to buy more just one dress? And those fellers in your office send literature and fuzz. If they had to follow a plow all day, they'd holler just like us. Cause literature ain't what we need, that's one expense to stop. The thing us farmers really need is a market for our crop. And everybody gives advice, we wish that they would stop. Advice don't help, what we need most is a market for our crop. We all can figure, but until the market problem's met, no matter how we figure, we're all a bloat upset. So subtracted or divided, figures never lie. Add it up or multiply it, figures never lie. We all can figure, but until the market problem's met, no matter how we figure, we're all a bloat upset. That's all I've got to say, sir. My letter now I end. Sincerely I remain, sir. Respectfully, your friend."
Bob Ferguson. Oh, there's an enormous amount of material that he recorded. I'm trying to track down more of it, but that one now, like I say, you tell me whether that has any contemporary interest. My, how times change. Well, now out there on Bergren Lane, which is close to town, but a pretty rural lane, we live on a part of what used to be the old Bergren homestead. It's a patch of cedar with some oaks and then a patch up at the top for a good-sized garden. This summer now, we did put up solar panels on the north slope of our roof. We put them up there because the president said he was going to turn things around. Had flies in the corn this year, but we drank it anyway. Corn, we made a scarecrow that was so ugly, that was so damned ugly, that not only did it not steal the corn, it brought back the corn it had stole the year before. Damn. Palmer's corn now, across the road, that's where Palmer has his chickens and has his corn. He planted popcorn because he thought it would be good cash crop. Well, it's been running, you know, up Sacramento, all around here, over 100 degrees by a good bit. A week ago, all that corn started to pop right on the cob, right on the stalk, covered the ground with popcorn, and his dog thought it was winter and froze to death. Now, that's hard to believe. And the wind sure fanned it. Well, we used to have two windmills on our place and took one down because there's not enough wind. God, the wind used to blow through here. One of Palmer's chickens was sitting with his back to that wind. That hen was. And the wind blew so strong that hen laid the same egg 4 times. I don't make this stuff up, folks. Well, now let's go back to 1926 and perhaps the most common farm song that there ever was, a song called The Boll Weevil, 1926. And I want you to guess, as you're listening to this, who it is that's singing this. I think you'll be surprised.
Oh, the boll weevil and the little black bug come from Mexico, they say. Come all the way to Texas, looking for a place to stay. Just looking for a home, just looking for a home. The first time I seen the boll weevil, he was a-settin' on the square. The next time I seen the boll weevil, he had all of his family there. Just a-lookin' for a home, just a-lookin' for a home. The farmer say to the weevil, what makes your head so red? The weevil say to the farmer, it's a wonder I ain't dead. A-lookin' for a home, a-lookin' for a home. The farmer take the boll weevil and he put him in the hot sand. The boll weevil say, this is mighty hot, but I'll stand it like a man. It is my home, this'll be my home. The farmer take the boll weevil and he put him in a lump of ice. The boll weevil say to the farmer, this is mighty cool and nice. It'll be my home, this'll be my home. The boll weevil say to the farmer, you better leave me alone. I done eat all your cotton, and now I'm gonna start on your corn. I'll have a home, I'll have a home. The merchant got half the cotton, the boll weevil got the rest. Didn't leave the farmer's wife, but one old cotton dress. And it's full of holes, it's full of holes. Farmer say to the merchant, we ain't made but only one bale, and before we'll give you that one, we'll fight and go to jail. We'll have a home, we'll have a home. The farmer say to the merchant, we're in an awful fix. The boll weevil ate all the cotton up and left us only six. We've got no home, we've got no home. And the captain say to the mistress, what do you think of that? The boll weevil done make a nest in my best Sunday hat. Gonna have a home, gonna have a home. And if anybody should ask you who it was that makes this song, just tell them 'twas a big buck nigger with a pair of blue duckins on. Ain't got no home, ain't got no home.
Well, did you guess who that was? 1926. That was Carl Sandburg. Carl Sandburg went all over collecting songs, and he recorded a whole bunch of them for Victor, and that's one of the earliest of them. He collected those songs for a book he was writing called Carl Sandburg's Song Bag, eventually published. Those of us who are involved in folk music always call it Carl Songbird's Sandbag. Well, the harvest, I guess, up in the Hood River country in Oregon, on up into Washington State, the apples are coming in. You're coming into picking the apples. I don't know if you've ever done that. Apple knocking in the Okanagan. Try saying that 14 times in a row. Apple knocking in the Okanagan Valley up there. Apple knocking, well, that can be damned hard work. It can be beautiful, but it can be damned hard work and hazardous too. The main hazards in apple knock and picking apples is leaf eye, ladder foot, thwap, and double thwap. Now, leaf eye is when you're reaching for an apple and there's a leaf parallel to your line of vision so you can't see it and it stabs you in the eye. Ladder foot, well, these fruit ladders, they have dowels. They have round steps instead of flat ones, and it really is hard on your instep after a while. Thwap is when you're reaching for an apple and push a branch out of the way, and it swings back and thwaps you in the face. And double thwap is when it gets you on the rebound. So remember that if you'd ever decide to go apple knocking up in the Okanagan. Casual farm labor, going from layabout to go about. Here's an old song. I guess I learned this maybe in Camp Kilcare, probably Peoria or Oakley, one of those towns up by Old Park City, farm towns in Utah. Let's see now. How did that one go? My name is Charlie Brannon. From Charleston I come. I've been the wild world over. Some ups and downs I've had. I've been the wild world over. Some ups and downs I've saw. I never knew what misery was till I hit old Arkansas. I dodged behind the depot to duck that bitter wind. I met a walking skeleton whose name was Thomas Quinn. His hair hung down in rat tails on his long and lantern jaw. He invited me to his hotel, the best in Arkansas. I followed my conductor to his respected place, where pity and starvation was wrote on every face. His bread, it was corn dodger, his beef I could not chaw. He charged me half a dollar in the state of Arkansas. Well, I decided to get myself a job of work out there, so I got a job on a farm. But I didn't like the farmer, nor his wife, nor any of his children. I said, pay me off now. He said, well, if that's the way you feel about it, young fella. And he gave me a mink skin. I said, hell, I don't want a mink skin. I want cash money. He said, that's what we use for money around here. Well, I took it, went up the road to try to wrestle up some drinking whiskey, walked into a tavern, put the mink skin down on the bar, bartender down if he didn't throw me a pint. Well, he picked up that mink skin, blowed the fur back, gave me 14 possum hides and 12 rabbit skins for change. I'm going to the Indian Territory and hide out from the law and bid farewell to the cane brakes in the state of Arkansas. You ever see me coming again, I'll extend to you my paw. It'll be through a telescope in the hell of Arkansas. Yeah, I guess that's still in there. You know, a serious drought going on out here, not to mention, problems with electricity. I've been considering putting in an outhouse. All these old farms used to have outhouses among the outbuildings. Now, I don't feel like I have the health to dig one. Maybe I could solicit some help for that. If Seavey was still alive, he'd come and do it. Seavey lived up there in Butte, Montana, but he worked all over western Montana. Seavey was a powder monkey in the mines in Butte, but he got the palsy, you understand, the shakes. When you're handling blasting caps and dynamite, you best not have the shakes. So he had to get out of that line of work. So he went to work digging outhouses. Well, he probably didn't like them at all. He excavated outhouses. And he didn't like to work. He wasn't going to use a pick or shovel, no. Besides, he was in advancing years. He would smuggle a stick of dynamite out of the mine shed, blow a hole in the ground, and build a shack over it, and sell it at $500, an outhouse. Didn't cost a whole lot. But then these wildcatters came through. This is in the early 1970s, I believe. Wildcatters came through looking for oil, and they sank these dry holes down God knows how far. Well, Seavey go out and find those holes, and build a shack over them and sell them as an outhouse with a lifetime guarantee. Well, he got out of that, though. It was his brother, older than him by a good bit, and had the pacemaker, was sitting in one of those outhouses one day, died waiting for the plop. The next day, Henry Kissinger flew to China. Ha! Well, now, here's Woody Guthrie. He's going to talk to you and sing to you about leaving the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl, you know, that was bad weather. That was drought. Yes, certainly, it was a natural disaster. But it was certainly aided and abetted by the fact that they were sharecropping, and they had to grow a heavy cash crop, which was cotton, and it didn't have the root structure to hold the topsoil in place when the wind did come up. And so a good component of that Dust Bowl was plain old human greed. Okies, Arkies, Mizzous, they headed out west, headed out to old Peach Bowl, California, they called it. Still settled around, their descendants still settled around Fresno and Salinas. We're going to listen to the original Library of Congress recording of Woody at the Talkin' Dust Bowl leaving Oklahoma, and then right on top of that, how it was when he got to California. Do re mi.
Back in 1927, I had a little farm and I called it heaven. Price was up and the rain come down and I hauled my crops all into town. I got the money, bought clothes and groceries, fed the kids, took it easy. The rain it quit and the wind got high and the black old dust storms filled the sky and I swapped my farm for a Ford machine and I filled it full of this gas I lean and started rolling and drifting to California. Way up yonder on a mountain road I had a hot motor and a heavy load. I was going pretty fast, I wasn't even stopping. I was bouncing up and down like popcorn a-popping. Had a breakdown, sort of a nervous bust down of the mechanism there, some kind of engine trouble. Here's the way up yonder on the mountain road. I wasn't feeling so very good, and I give this rolling Ford a shove, and I was gonna coast as fur as I could. Commenced rolling, picking up speed, and there was a hairpin turn, and I couldn't make it. Man alive, I'm telling you, the fiddles and the guitars really flew. That Ford took off like a flying squirrel and it flew halfway around the world. Scattered wives and children all over the side of that mountain. We got to old Los Angeles broke, so that gum hungry we thought we'd choke, and I bummed up a spud or two, and my wife cooked up a tater stew. Fed the kids a big bait of it, but that was mighty thin stew. So that gum thin, you could pretty near read a magazine through it. If it had been just a little bit thinner, I've always believed that stew had been just a little bit thinner, some of our senators could have seen through it.
Well, how did they treat you when you got to California? You people in these old jalopies and broke down trucks and everything, how did they welcome you with bands and banners and everything, or how was it?
No, not with music bands. They had a little different kind of band that fitted on your leg. Got 13 links on it, and they had another kind of orchestra. They called it the Pea Patch Papas. And
what would that be, Pea Patch Papas?
Well, if you was out of work, see, of course, it's highly unsanitary to be out of work. What I mean by that is that in most towns all over the country, it's a jailhouse offense to be unemployed. And in that country, they enforced that when they took a notion. In other words,
when you come to that country, they found different ways of putting that vague law on you and putting you either to working free in some pea patch or garden or washing dishes or something, but anyway, you was always working and you wasn't getting nothing out of it. No, they didn't greet us with bands or nothing. They asked us questions when we come across the line, ask us where we was from and all about it. And then they tried to turn a lot of us back, the hobos, the boys that's riding the freight trains and hitchhiking down the road that didn't have any money in their pockets. We knew. We remembered the old tractor sitting back down there covered up with dust, the cows standing up on top of the barn and looking out across that dead sea of dust. And we said, no, mister. I'd rather be in jail here than sitting down there on that farm.
It was a matter of having the money, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a matter of having the money. That's it. Oh. They don't ask you where you got it, how you got it, who you got it off of, or nothing else. Just so you got the do-re-mi, boy, that's the main thing. You can gamble for it, lie for it, steal for it, bum for it, beg for it. Do anything else in the world for it. You can even chase people out of their house and home for it. Do-re-mi. I made up a little song about that. Call it the do-re-mi. This,
I'll
show you how it goes here. Lots of folks back east this say's leaving home every day and beating a hot old dusty way to the California line. Across the desert sands they roll trying to get out of the old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl, but here's what they find. The police at the port of entry say, you're number 15,000 for today. Oh, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, friend, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California's a garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi. Buy a home or farm that can't do nobody harm, or take your vacation by the mountains or sea. Don't trade your old cow for a car. You better stay right where you are. You better take this little tip from me. 'Cause Governor Merriam on the radio one day, he jumped up to the microphone and he did say, oh, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, friends, you ain't got the do-re-mi, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California's a garden of Eden, it's a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi.
Thank you very much, Mr. Guthrie.
Thank you, Mr. Lomax.
This record was made by the Department of Interior Radio Broadcasting Division on March the 21st, 1940. Alan Lomax speaking.
Oh, yeah. You know, Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall himself, down there in Fresno, California, a descendant of those people who came out from the Dust Bowl, like so many settled around that part of the country. Fellow by the name of Thomas Hennell. I'm going to take your mind back a good bit further than Woody, you know, also to something which is very familiar to a great many of us who roam around the countryside. Thomas Hennell wrote a book called The Old Farm. He was an Englishman. And it's about the operation of a farm in every respect. The setup, how the tools were used, how they were used at the turn of the, 1900, turn of the 20th century, the late 1900s. And I'm going to give you a little bit from the introduction, Thomas Hennell's introduction to The Old Farm. And then we're going to listen to a newfound friend up in Canada, whom I met at the Vancouver Folk Festival by the name of David Francie, a real working class dude. And he's going to sing you a song he made up called The Torn Screen Door. In every farmyard, outhouse, and contingent buildings throughout the country are to be seen piled up relics of past generations of farmers, the remains of old plows, wagons, and implements crumbling away behind the new steam thresher and brightly painted iron rakes and harrows. They are warped and rubbed down to the accustomed knots and sinews of the hands of their ancient proprietors, and so reveal themselves as emblems of family history. But what exactly were their names and uses, and what the just and time-honored methods of those who wielded them? And those are not for a moment to be recognized. They are to be extracted only at leisure from a welter of daily commonplaces, the genial warmth of fire and beer, bringing them ripely from the dwindling memories of the third generation back. All the country's history, and not only a chronicle of small beer, is written out in the carpentry of broken carts and wagons, on the knots and joints of old orchard trees, among the tattered ribs of decaying barns, and in the buried ancestral furrows and courses which can still be traced under the turf when the sun falls slantwise across the fields in the long summer afternoons. When farmers have laid aside the formidable engines, hooks, and harrows of modern agrarian reform, they may return, like Cincinnatus, to their fireside turnips and consider how things were done when tools were simple and the land was fed upon straw yard muck.
Late summer day and my love and I went walking over hills and fields we walked laughing and talking. Came across an old farmhouse standing broken and bare. It used to be someone's home, now no one lives there. And there's a red barn standing held together with nails and dust, and a tired old massy harness, all wires and rust. Weeds overgrown in a garden sown with care. It used to be someone's home, now no one lives there. And through the crack in the window pane, I hear the sound of the falling rain. Another farm being left run down, another family moved into town. Had a life that they tried to save, but the banks took it all away. Hung a sign on a torn screen door, nobody lives here no more. They worked their fingers to the bone, nothing left they can call their own. Packed it in under leaden skies, with just the wheat waving them goodbye. Had a life that they tried to save, but the banks took it all away. Hung a sign on a torn screen door, nobody lives here no more. Had a life that they tried to save, but the banks took it all away. Hung a sign on a torn screen door, nobody lives here no more.
David Francie, what a hell of a singer, fine writer. I was going through a bunch of old books. I haunt secondhand stores, what they call junk stores, but I never cared for the term myself. And I found a little green folder that was put out by the Agricultural Extension in Wisconsin in 1914. And it was a little pamphlet of farmers' poetry. There was a poem in one of them by a woman named Inga Gilson Caldwell from Wapaka, Wisconsin. called The Farmer's Wife, and I'll read you that poem. And then let's listen to something a little closer to my home here, The Lilac and the Apple Tree. Kate Wolf spent a lot of time, she was a fine California singer here and well-loved by many of us, an old friend of mine. She spent a good bit of time up by Goodyear's Bar walking through those mountains, and she found an old lilac tree and an apple tree and then the foundation of what used to be a farmhouse, and stood right there and wrote the song. Well, you know, Kay Wolf has passed on. She's buried up there at Goodyear's Bar. One of the people who buried her went back and found that farmstead and took in shoots from that lilac and is now propagating them. And, you can get them from him. They're the Kate Wolf lilac. Well, here, Inga Gilson Caldwell, 1914, The Farmer's Wife. Her inner parlor was a special place for high occasions when the pastor called or favored guests. The room was stiff with lace, as fragile as a spider's web, and old, time-yellowed keepsakes. It held all the spoil a woman loves to feast her soul upon, filched from a simple life of strenuous toil, and cherished like the remembrance of things gone. Today, the door stands open to receive the curious and those who come to grieve.
A lilac bush and an apple tree were standing in the woods. Out on the hill above the town where once a farmhouse stood. And in the winter the leaves are bare and no one sees the sign of a house that stood and a garden that grew and life in another time. One spring when the buds came bursting forth and grass grew on the land, the lilac spoke to the apple tree as only an old friend can. Do you think, said the lilac, this might be the year when someone will build here once more? Here by the cellar, still open and deep, there's room for new walls and a floor. Oh no, said the apple, there are so few who come here on the mountain this way. And when they do, they don't often see why we're growing here so far away. A long time ago, we were planted by hands that worked in the mines and the mills. When the country was young and the people who came built their homes in the hills. But now there are cities, the roads have come, and no one lives here today. And the only sign of the farms in the hills are the things not carried away. Broken dishes, piles of boards, a tin plate, an old leather shoe, and an apple tree still bending down, and a lilac where a garden once grew.
Well, thank you, Kate. Those are old times. What do we learn from them? I guess it was Abby Hoffman said that nostalgia is another form of depression. Well, there are some things, some losses that are worth being depressed about, I can tell you that. There's a lot to learn from those old times. Look, let me give you an idea about what I mean. It was up in North Dakota. Now, North Dakota was a rock-rib conservative state. But it was in 1915 that the Republicans and the Democrats, farmers, under serious, serious hardship, farms failing, notes being called in, couldn't get low-income loans, sending the grain out to be milled in Minneapolis and paying the drayage to have it hauled back, on and on. Republicans and Democrats got together and formed the Nonpartisan League. headed by A.C. Townley, who was a socialist, for crying out loud. By 1918, they were so well organized, they just walked from farm to farm and just talked to people about what they needed. By 1918, they elected a governor and a majority in both houses of the legislature. And you know what they got? They got a state industrial commission. They got a farmer state bank to get those low-income loans. They got North Dakota mill and elevator. It still says on the stationery from the state house up there, buy Dakota-made flour. A home builders association. Laws concerning workmen's compensation. Hail, fire, and tornado insurance. On and on. I mean, these are all socialist measures that they rammed down the throats of the politicians. Now, we got to learn that all over again. As much as I love the tenacity and the organizing skill of the Green Party, I resisted that idea of a Green Party. I always did think that anybody that wanted the power had been driven half mad to begin with. No, you build an enormous constituency, patiently organizing at the bottom, built on what people want and need, okay? And then you have a convention, and you invite the politicians in, and you tell them either you agree with what we want and need and you get elected, or you don't and you don't get elected. No big party stuff, no offices, no massive fundraisers, a low-income operation. Only people armed with a thoroughgoing sense and united in a thoroughgoing sense of what they want and what they need. Well, this is my polemic, for the day. This is my agrarian polemic. This is what all this whole food fraud has been leading up to. We got to consider ideas that come out of the past like that. Look, you political organizers now, get to work. Go there. Dig up. Learn about the Nonpartisan League and see how it worked. Well, it sure worked then, I'll tell you. Well, we're drawing down toward the end here. Let's put Pete Seeger in here. Yeah, Pete Seeger back about 1943 recorded that's the granddaddy of all farm songs called The Farmer is the Man.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is the man that feeds them all. If you'll only look and see, I think you will agree that the farmer is the man that feeds them all. The farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. Then they take him by the hand and they lead him from the land, and the middleman's the one that gets it all. When the lawyer hangs around and the butcher cuts a pound, the farmer is the man that feeds them all. And the preacher and the cook, they go strolling by the brook, but the farmer is the man that feeds them all. The farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. With the interest rate so high, it's a wonder he don't die, for the mortgage man's the one that gets it all. When the banker says he's broke and the merchant's up in smoke, they forgets that it's the farmer feeds them all. It would put them to the test if the farmer took a rest, then they'd know that it's the farmer feeds them all. Well, the farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. And his pants are wearing thin, his condition, it's a sin, he's forgot that he's the man that feeds them all.
That's the one. That's the one. Where are you going to go when the dynamo don't go no more? You're trying to panhandle a candle like a vandal and then bagel a bagel. How many times have you heard me say that? Yes. The power is in the farm. The power is in the countryside. Look at it this way. There isn't anything going on in the city that people living in the country can't dispense with. But the reverse is not true. So where does the real power lie? Where does the real organizing have to take place? Well, now, in time for me to get out of here, go up and tend to my garden. I'm not a good hand at grubbing dirt, you know. Last season, most of my plants deliberately and maliciously stunted themselves, the ones the squirrels didn't get. Fella across the road, though, he grows corn up to the eaves of the barn any time of the summer or winter. It's a caution. I asked him how he did it. He said he used hormones. Does anybody know anything about this? Hormones. Well, my wife had given up the birth control pills because they're dangerous. I took what was left and ground them up real fine, mixed them with some water, poured them on the plants, killed every last one of them. You ought to see the squirrels, though. Had wonderful zucchini. Apparently, it is God's will that the zucchini will grow. A nuclear holocaust, rack, ruin, earthquake, the damn zucchini is going to grow. I let it grow as big as it wants. Last year, I trestled one up and hauled it out, went fishing in it like a canoe. Beavers ate it right out in front of me, underneath me. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll varnish it this year. I'll be able to get away with it. I let it grow as big as it wants, roll it off to the side of the yard for a windbreak. My neighbor looked over the fence and said, you leave that giant, he called it Hindenburgini, you leave that giant Hindenburgini lying there in the late summer sun, and it will rot from the inside out and sink into the Mother Earth in a welter of its own festus and smegma. Ah, but, now this is folk wisdom from Nevada City, California, he said, you take a machete and cut that giant Hindenburgini open end for end, lay it out flat, and it will dry in the sun, and you can burn it in your fireplace. I had 4 quarts of zucchini laid up for winter. Hand to God! Well, here's another coming into town, bringing the harvest into town song about a dog. I have learned to love dogs. We have a remarkable and intelligent, beautiful dog named a Bo up at my house. I've had to learn to love dogs. Well, I had a tragedy with my first dog that went east with me when I left Utah, Porfirio Goldfarb, he was, named after the great Mexican bandit. We had never seen a subway, so we went down into the subway, and he jumped down on the track, got his tail cut off. Had to sell him wholesale because I couldn't retail him, of course. It's long about now when our non-subscribers congratulate themselves on their parsimony. Well, here it is. Gotta quit kicking my dog around. Me and Lem Biggs and old Bill Brown took a load of corn to town. Old Jim Dog, the ornery cuss, he just naturally followed us. Every time I come to town, boys keep kicking my dog around. Makes the difference if he is a hound, you gotta quit kicking my dog around. As we drove past the county store, a bunch of apes come out the door. Old Jimmy stopped to sniff a box, they shied at him a bunch of rocks. Every time I come to town, boys keep kicking my dog around. Makes the difference if he is a hound, you gotta quit kicking my dog around. Me and Lem Biggs and old Bill Brown lost no time in jumping down. We wiped them yapes upon the ground for kicking my old dog around. Every time I come to town, the boys keep kicking my dog around. Makes no difference if he is a hound, you gotta quit kicking my dog around. Folks say a dog can't hold a grudge, but once when I had too much budge, them town dudes tried to do me up, but they didn't reckon an old Jim pup. Well, he seed his duty there and then and lit into them gentlemen. Sure messed up the courthouse square with rags and meat and hide and hair. Every time I come to town, the boys keep kicking my dog around. Makes the difference if he is a hound, you gotta quit kicking my dog around. Well, we have time for a couple more. The first person, I guess, in recorded history to use the word hootenanny was Bob Miller. That was in 1929. Some people say it came from Seattle. That's what Pete Seeger told me. Other people out in the Midwest say that comes from an old French word, and I'd sure be like to track down where that, in fact, comes from. In any case, let's listen to... this would be harvest time. This is when people get together, hoorah, dance, bob and weave, go into the barn, push all the bales aside, get the threshing floor swept off, take out the fiddles and the guitars and start to dance and start to hoorah and celebrate their lives and celebrate the harvest. This is part of an old radio show from that time, 1929, Bob Miller and the Hootenanny Song.
Open up that door. Can't you hear that knocking? And Cicero, you wipe your nose, pull up your socks, and keep quiet. Hit Sam Musicans that's here for to play for this festival. Here. You bulldozing scalawagon upstart tunes, keep quiet. Come on in. Don't be scared. That dog won't bite you. He can't. He ain't got a tooth in his jaws. Keep quiet, I tell you. I reckon he can't do much damage if he just gums around. Pappy Lies is how he's like some of these politicans. He's heavy on the noise, but sort of light on the doing. I'm sure glad you are here. Everybody's waiting. We've been trying to make a little music ourselves, but you know, we don't do so good.
Well, I reckon you ain't professionals, are you?
Hey, Perwich?
I said you ain't professionals.
Lord help you, I reckon we ain't. We're Democrats and proud of it. Air this the programmy. Oh, Jiminy, it looks like a thump down good one. It's as infectious a looking one as I've ever seen. And I bet I've seen a million. I'll now proceed with the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the musicians for the festival. Introducing Bob Miller's Hootenannies a playing and a singing my favorite hymny. It mighty erstwhile to me. Say, that guitar player was sure cutting up and carrying on in that party.
Say, Jenny, how'd you like that banjo?
Oh, that banjo, say, you're just a string-picking fool. You're just the horse's knuckles, I reckon. Introducing the Hootenannies again, a-playing and a-singing Uncle Joe with me on the juice harp.
You'll never get the head knock, no, no. 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 You'll never get the head knock, no, no.
That eclipsed anything that I've ever done so far. Jenny, that dog's gotten them strawberries and ate them all up. What? Fix that gag-gum hammering, aggravating dog in here. Come here to me. Let me look at you. Ah, what's that on your mouth, eh? It looks like strawberries. It appears to be strawberries. Ah, it smells like strawberries, and I'm a hen cackle. Hit air strawberries. Oh, the Lord have mercy. Strawberry festivals, they're a lot of worry to me. But then, they're a lot of pleasure, too. So let us just hash back to the kitchen now and partake of a few strawberries.
Sure,
eh?
Sure, sure.
I reckon we'll just have to begin where that gum hammering dog left off. And if the customer, as is a play in this record, would like to partake of a few strawberries with us, just turn this record over and step right in.
The golden days of radio. All right, that's a barn dance. That's a radio barn dance. Now let's do a barn dance. It is the harvest. Grub is up. Get up onto your hind legs, and let's see you dance and twirl and cavort around the kitchen. As I said, Kenny Hall is a descendant of people who came out. The Arkies, the Okies, Mizzous, settled around Fresno. Here's a blind Kenny Hall doing a medley of songs from Arkansas. This one. You've been listening to Utah Phillips. I am indeed the golden voice of the great Southwest, and this has been Wolfer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. And now for a dissenting opinion, here's Edward Abbey.
I believe humanity made a serious mistake when our ancestors gave up the hunting and gathering life for agriculture and towns. That's when they invented the slave, the serf, the master, the commissar, the bureaucrat, the capitalist, and the five-star general. Wasn't it farming made a murderer out of Cain? Nothing but trouble and grief ever since, with a few comforts thrown in here and there, now and then, like bourbon and ice cubes and free beer on the 4th of July, mainly to stretch out the misery.